please turn your cell phones off. I wanted to start out first by, as Ricky mentioned, this week on Erev Shavuot is the yahrzeit of Mrs. Linda Prua Brachwald, Marat Chaya Sasha, but Rav Yosef Hillel. As many of you know, this Rosh Chodesh series, this whole program, is being sponsored by the Brachwald family. I want to say a special thank you to Mrs. Brachwald, who's here right now. And really, the fact that we're able to have this amazing program every single month at such a subsidized price with so many different aspects to the program is really due to the generosity of the Brachwalds, and should really be a zchut for their daughter and an aliyah for her neshama. Because it is the week of her yahrzeit, so therefore we have special refreshments and special bagels and salads for lunch. So thank you again, and really it should be an aliyah for her neshama. Later on, her daughter is going to be coming to speak a few minutes about her mother. Okay, so if you remember, there's a very famous philosophical question that many of us ask as children, right? And that is, if a tree falls in an empty forest, does it make a sound? Right? You guys are familiar with that one? So we'll add to the list. If we're in that same empty forest and there's no people, does it become Shabbos? Okay? The Gemara actually discusses a very similar case. Okay, let's say you happen to be wandering around in the desert for many, many days, and you know, you don't have your phone with you, you don't have your calendar, you don't know. You lose track of time and you don't know when is Shabbos. What do you do? So the Gemara concludes that what you should do is, from whatever day that you realize that you forgot when Shabbos, what day it is, you should count 7 days and keep your own Shabbos. But what happens when you return to normal civilization? Do you keep that Shabbos? No, you go back and keep the regular Shabbos because we don't have the power to create a new Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos is a set thing. Now, I was in Shul this past Shabbos for Birkas HaChodesh, and I was thinking, why is it that we have this idea of announcing to the whole world, right, a very public declaration that it is going to be Rosh Chodesh that week? And I think the answer is because, as opposed to Shabbos, for Rosh Chodesh, we actually do have the power to declare when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Okay? We don't just commemorate Rosh Chodesh, we actually create Rosh Chodesh. Okay, we discussed this in the past. The first mitzvah in the Torah, in source number one, the first mitzvah that we received is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh hazeh lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. Hashem tells Moshe, you know, he points out, we discussed before, right? He showed Moshe in the sky exactly what the moon will look like when it's Rosh Chodesh. How can you tell when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh? The position in the sky, the size, the shape. And the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says, HaChodesh hazeh lachem, edut zo tehei misura lachem. This concept of exactly how the moon looks, how to determine when Rosh Chodesh is going to be passed down from generation to generation. We have a Misura that we can decide, we can understand from the way that the moon looks, we can determine when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. And the Rambam in source 3 actually says, right, Ad shik teshuhu beitin, until beitin comes and is mekadesh the chodesh, vikvu oto hayom Rosh Chodesh, and declares that this day is Rosh Chodesh, hu sheyeh Rosh Chodesh, only at that point does it actually become Rosh Chodesh, right? It's not that they figured out, oh, I see the moon, and now I know I can see that it's Rosh Chodesh. No, the very fact that they declare it Rosh Chodesh is what actually makes it to become Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara in Yerushalmi discusses how crazy this is. Okay, the Gemara says, "Ezo uma ke'uma hazot." What kind of nation is this? Benoheg sheba'olam, is a source for. In the normal world, what happens, right? Just backtrack for a second. The fact that we declare when Rosh Chodesh is indirectly means that we also declare when every other chag falls out, right? So here it's talking about Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so imagine, right, in the world, right, if you have the Shilton Omer Hadin Hayom, we have the rulers who say, today is going to be the day of judgment, today we're going to have a court case. V'alistim Omer L'machar Hadin. And the robbers, the bandits come and say, actually, we're going to have the judgment day tomorrow. L'mishumin, who do we listen to? Lo Shilton, right? Wouldn't, of course, we would listen to the rulers and not to the people who are on trial? Okay, aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino kein, but Hashem is different. Inu beitin hayom Rosh Hashanah, if the beitin comes and says, today is Rosh Chodesh, and that means that today is Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer l'malachei hasharet, So Hashem then goes to the Malachim and says, Hamidu Bima, okay, let's set up the courtroom, bring out the stand, Yamdu Sanigorin, Yamdu Kategorin, we're going to bring out the defendants and the prosecutors, Shamru Banai HaYom Rosh Hashanah, because my sons told me now that today is Rosh Hashanah. Nimlechu Beitin La'ara L'machar, and even more so, if the Beitin decides actually tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh, tomorrow is going to be Rosh Hashanah, So then Hashem says to the Malachim, Haviru Bima, get rid of the stand, move out the courtroom, Yavru Sanigorin, Yavru Kategorin, get rid of all the prosecutors, the defendants, Shenimlechu Banai La'avra L'machar, because my sons decided, actually, let's have the trial tomorrow. Right? How crazy is this? It sounds like almost like Kivyachol Hashem doesn't even know when Rosh Chodesh or when Rosh Hashanah is going to be until we come and tell him. Right? It's crazy. And even more so, the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah in the Bavli, in Source 5, we're not going to read it inside, but discusses that even if we make a mistake and we miscalculate, we still have the power to declare that it's Rosh Chodesh, even if it's wrong. Okay, and it brings a story where two witnesses came and said, we saw in the sky, we saw the moon, it looked like this, it was in this position. Their testimony was accepted, it's Rosh Chodesh. And the next day, what happened? There was no moon at all in the sky. So what do we do now? So Rabban Gamliel said, that's it. We already said it's Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkana said, no, it can't be. They must have been false witnesses. Because after all, right, let's say you have a woman who gives birth one day, and the next day you see she's pregnant. Something doesn't make sense, right? It can't be it was Rosh Chodesh, and the next day there's no moon. And therefore, he says, we can't accept the testimony. And Rabbi Yeshua agrees with him. Now what happens? Rabban Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, I'm sorry, I'm the Nasi. You need to listen, and therefore I'm going you to come to me on what day you thought was going to be Yom Kippur, according to your calculation, according to what you're saying, and come to me with your money, with your walking stick. I want you to be mechala what you think is your Yom Kippur. Of course, he's very distressed. He doesn't want to do this. But Rabbi Akiva comes to him, and he comforts him, and he says to him, you know, I just want to remind you something that you once told to me. And he quotes to him, he says that in Vayikra, in Kaf Gimel, there's three different psukim that are very similar. There's Elam Odei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Otam, Elam Odei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Otam, and Elam Odei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Otam Mikrei Kodesh. Three different psukim that say almost the same thing, and the word Otam in every single one of those psukim is written without the Vav. And therefore we have a limu from there that we learn that it means Atem. And he says, Atem Afilu Shogiyin, you have the power to declare when Rosh Chodesh is, even if you made a mistake. Atem Afilu Mezidin, even if on purpose you chose the wrong day. Atem afilu mutin, even if you were led to believe by false witnesses, even so, it doesn't matter. We have the power to declare when Rosh Chodesh is. And this is really a fascinating concept, because what this means is that we really have this very dynamic, active partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We have the power to be Mekadesh time. He gives it into our hands and says, you, my people, you go ahead and decide when is Rosh Chodesh, when are the Chagim. And it's interesting because we actually... when we daven, for those of you who got to say Musaf today, right, we say, Mikadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. And the Gemara points out there, right, regarding Shabbos, what do we say? Mikadesh HaShabbat. There's no Yisrael in there. But when we daven on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov, we say Mikadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, or Mikadesh Yisrael v'roshei chadashim, because what does it mean? It means Hashem is Mikadesh b'nei Yisrael, who are then Mikadesh the Zmanim. Okay, we are given that power to go ahead and like kind of take that kedusha and pass it on to the time. And I think this is a concept that's very important in general for the month of Sivan, okay? Because the idea of having this active partnership with Hashem is not only in terms of time, it's in terms of bringing kedusha into the world, and it's in terms of our learning. Okay, we know that the Torah was given to us at Matan Torah, but it didn't remain static, right? It's constantly evolving. That's the whole idea, the whole fact that Rabbanim can make Piskei Halacha even today, right? The Torah is always evolving. And we have the power, every single person, when they sit and open a Sefer and learn, they have the power to do what? To make Chidushim, right? To come up with their own concepts, bring in their own personalities, their own perspectives, and to come up with new Torah ideas. And I think this is something that's very important to take with us when we go into Shavuos with Matan Torah. Sometimes as women, we feel a little bit, I think, disconnected from some holidays, like whether Simchas Torah or Shavuos, because we don't have, let's say, sometimes that same connection. Right? Maybe most of us don't stay up all night learning, and I think it has to do with much more than that night learning or that dancing with the Torah. I think it has to do with our connection to Torah, and I think that like, it's so amazing that all of you are here right now, coming to classes. I think it's very important to come to Shiurim, don't get me wrong, but I think something that we all need to do is to try to take some time to learn on our own, right? To open up a sefer, even if it means in the English, but to open up a sefer and connect the actual text, because when we do that, then it enables us to not only hear what the teacher has to say to you, but to come up with our own ideas. I don't mean anything radical, but we all are given our own personalities, kohos, ideas, and we're able to really take an active role in that Torah learning. I think that's really important. I think that's something that we should actually explore here, in addition to all the classes, to think about maybe having some sort of chavrusa program or some program where each person has the ability to get up at a certain point and give their own Dvar Torah, their own shir, using whatever they can, even if it's the whatever it is, but to be able to put something together themselves gives you the opportunity to have that voice. So just to conclude, just to summarize, basically, Rosh Chodesh is really a model for us in terms of the partnership that we have with Hashem. The idea that He gives into our hands the ability to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. He says it's not a dynamic, it's not a static relationship. It's not just that I give to you and I'm giving you the Chagim and no, you're part of this partnership. And therefore, we, in turn, in every level of our lives, have to really take that responsibility to be able to be Hashem's partners and to actively go out there, not just to sit back and relax, but really to go out there and to continue to bring Kedusha into the world. So thank you very much. Yes.